Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're only 2 days away until Christmas Day, a holiday to the world, but a holy day for the Christian and those who understand the holy significance of Jesus' birth, how serious and sobering it is to think what the world would be like if Christ had not came, where we would be headed, where we would spend eternity if He hadn't come to lay in the manger, to hang on the cross, to pay our sin debt up in full so that we could have everlasting life. Well, we pray that in this season when so many things are occurring simultaneously, that we might be able to separate the holy day from the holiday, and we might recapture in our hearts the glory of Christ coming, that when the holiday is over, the holy day and its significance will remain, and we will rejoice this coming year in our salvation and in our great Savior. Praise God. Someone said the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. I want to read that today. We're talking about the mystery and the majesty of Christmas, and now we're talking this close to Christmas Day as the majesty of Christmas unfolds. Jesus came to reconcile us unto God. Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Hallelujah. One paraphrase reads, "God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us as His very own children." This is the majesty of Christmas, what Jesus came to accomplish, and what He in fact did accomplish on the cross was not just to forgive us our sins, but to bring us to God in a reconciled relationship that we might be called the very sons and daughters of God. We are brought literally into God's royal family. Hallelujah. And we are not called servants. We are called sons. Praise God. That's why Jesus came. That's what He came to accomplish. That's why the baby came to lay in that manger. He didn't save us by laying in the manger. He saved us by hanging on the cross. But it all began, that journey to the cross to reconcile us to God, began in the little town of Bethlehem. It began with a virgin birth. It began with a baby laying helpless in a manger. Praise God. Amen. This is the majesty, the glory, the unsurpassed, absolute worth of the gift that God has given us when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come into our world and to take our sins upon Himself, having never sinned, and to give His life. Ah, friend of mine, this separates the holy day from the holiday, and make no mistake about it, I'm going to enjoy the holiday part of Christmas. I have reason to celebrate. I have a reason to enjoy all of the good things that God gives us to richly enjoy. You know, the Bible said God gave us all things richly to enjoy, and all things are to be received when sanctified, speaking of food, with the word and prayer. I don't mean that you can pray the calories out of that banana split, but I do mean that all all that was once forbidden for people to eat now can be eaten because it is cleansed by the word and prayer for the believer. God has done a new thing. He's gotten rid of the ceremonial stuff and give us, praise God, biblical principles and proofs that what Jesus did on the cross brought us into a brand new relationship with God. Friend, when we cry, "Our Father, which is art in heaven," amen, the Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit Himself, bears witness that we are sons and daughters of Almighty God through the faith in Jesus Christ, and now God is our Heavenly Father. He's not just the force in the universe, He's the Father in heaven. Praise God. Jesus bought our freedom by paying the ransom price in full at the cross. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to change us within, to show loving kindness to sinners who can't change themselves. Listen to Titus chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. It said, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." And when did this kindness, when did this love appear? It appeared when God took on flesh, when Christ came on that first Christmas day. "Not by works of righteousness," verse 5 says, "which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Hallelujah. Friend, when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, He not only reconciled us to God, He gained for us a standing of righteousness that would allow the Holy Spirit to come and abide within us and effect mighty, holy change within our own very nature. When we were struggling with sin's sway, it's because we now have holy aversion to it. It's not like the past when we gave our allegiance to it. I always tell people, if you're having a struggle with your weak flesh, then that proves that the change within your spirit has occurred. You have a bent toward righteousness. I'm so glad that God gave us His Son. Hallelujah. Not just to forgive our sins, but to change us from the inside out. I used to love to hear George Beverly Shea sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands, just to know I'm led by His nail-pierced hands, than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway." Aren't you glad today that Jesus came to set the captive free? Aren't you glad today that God can change you and me from the inside out? Hallelujah. Jesus came to deliver us from the enemy's prison house and from sin's dread sway. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. It said, "And you hath He quickened," which means given life, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Listen to verse 4. "But God, who was rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Here's that gift again. Here's the gift of God. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Friend, you're not saved by good works, but when you get saved, those works that follow our salvation are confirmation that we have been truly saved. We begin to bow to a different master. We begin to walk to the beat of a different drummer. We're no longer, amen, the sons and daughters of darkness. We are the children of the light and the children of the Most High God. I like one paraphrase of that last verse. It said, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Jesus came, make no mistake about it, amen, to forgive us of our sins, but not to leave us in Satan's prison house, but to change us. Hallelujah. You know, the Scripture said that we have been translated. I always think of Star Wars when there's some Trekkies come to my church, and I think of Star Trek and Star Wars. Star Trek in particular, where Captain Kirk says, "Beam me up, Scotty." Amen. And there's this fabulous machine that takes him from the place he is and brings him to the place that he wants to be. And that's that word that is used, translation. It's a spiritual transformation. We have been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The devil's no longer our daddy. God is our Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're part of His glorious kingdom, and His kingdom is manifest within every one of us. Hallelujah. We are God's masterpiece. Amen. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago. Praise God. Amen. Jesus came to deliver us from sin's power and consequence by becoming our sacrifice lamb. Hebrews 9 and verse 26, listen. "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." The Amplified explains this, I believe, and really does amplify it, for it says, "For then would He often have had to suffer over and over again since the foundation of the world. But as it now is, He has once and for all, at the consummation and close of the ages, appeared to put away and abolish sin by the sacrifice of Himself." I said it before, and I must say it again. Jesus did not come to lay in a manger, a perpetual child. See, that's what begins the debarking point where we separate the holy day from the holiday, is that we do not just continue to keep viewing the Christ child, but we see the Christ child as the beginning of His journey to go to the cross, the beginning of the saving grace of God that would occur when Jesus grew to be a man and took our place at 33 years of age on that cross. For 6 hours in agony, He paid our sin debt. God gave Himself for us. God did not just send us His Son. He sent Him to die in our place. He gave His only begotten Son. As Isaiah writes, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Jesus came to die, to give us victory over death. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 through 10. Listen closely. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Friend of mine, in the mind and the heart of God, when he created man, when it came into his heart to create man and give him a sovereign will, the right to choose wrong or right, to sin or to follow righteousness, to listen to the devil or listen to the God who created him, when he gave him that in his mind, in the event that man blew it, God had a plan to redeem man from his sin, from his self, back to his Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 10 said, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Praise God. Amen. Friend of mine, I want you to know Christmas is the beginning of the greatest event in all of human history and all of angel history and all of demon history. Praise God. Amen. Christmas began that journey from the manger to the cross, where God would, through Christ and in Christ, purchase our salvation. I like what Harriet Hine wrote about Christmas. She said, if there had been no Christmas morn, no Christ child in the manger born, no shepherds watching in the night, no angel's song, no star of light, then there would be no hope today for this old world where sin holds sway. No peace for souls weighed down with sin, no deep abiding joy within. No burdens lifted by His grace, no strength to run life's weary race. No sorrows eased, no tempest quelled, no fears dispersed, no doubts dispelled. No song of praise, no answered prayer, no loving Lord to guide and care. But friend, there was a Christmas morn when Christ the Son of God was born. Oh, hallelujah, praise His name. Hope lives today, because He came. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friend of mine, His coming into this world was the beginning of that mystery of godliness that was hid from the foundation of the world, but now is manifest, now is brought to light, now it can be explained, because He came and He accomplished what He came to accomplish on the cross. He rose from the dead on the third day. He ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, and He is coming back again for His people. And you today, friend, can be one of those that He's coming back for, if you accept Him as your Lord and your Savior. Praise God. Oh, how we praise God for Christmas. In his book, Psalms of My Life, Joe Bailey wrote the following poem, and I quote, praise God for Christmas. Praise Him for the incarnation, for Word made flesh. I will not sing of shepherds watching flocks on frosty night or angel choristers. I will not sing of stable bear in Bethlehem or lowing oxen, wise men trailing distant star with gold and frankincense and myrrh. Tonight, I will sing praise to the Father who stood on heaven's threshold and said farewell to His Son as He stepped across the stars to Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And I will sing praise to the infinite, eternal Son who became most finite a baby, who would one day be executed for my crimes. Praise Him in the heavens. praise Him in the stable and praise Him in my heart. Christmas, friend, is a time to celebrate salvation. And Christmas, dear friend, is a time to celebrate our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should rejoice that Jesus was born in the ancient city of Bethlehem long ago, and our hearts should be filled with joy because that child was and is the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a scripture I want to share before we close today. Celebrating this Savior. Celebrating this gift that has been given us when God gave His only begotten Son. When God gave us His Son to die in our place. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15 simply says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Literally, that word unspeakable means indescribable. Here we are once again at Christmas trying to describe the indescribable. And I have been trying my very best with God's help to describe the majesty and the magnitude of what it meant when this baby was born in Bethlehem, when this baby grew to manhood and at 33 years of age hung for 6 hours between heaven and earth, reconciling the world unto God. Those that would trust Christ as their Savior and repent of their sins would be reconciled unto God instead of eternal punishment and eternal banishment from God's presence. We have everlasting life, accepted in the Beloved, counted as God's very sons and very daughters. We do not have to fear the wrath to come, the judgment that is coming upon sin and sinners. We don't have to fear the wrath of God because all of the punishment for our sins was burned out in Christ. Hallelujah. And His innocence and His righteousness was put to our account. Oh, what a salvation is this. What a great God this is. I like D.S. Lockridge. He's known for something he wrote a few years back about Jesus called the indescribable Christ. Lockridge, a theologian, did his best to describe us Jesus Christ. And here's what he wrote. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in Himself. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest idea in philosophy. He's the fundamental truth in theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. Praise God. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. Do you know Him? Well, my King is the King of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings. I'm having to take a breath. He is the Lord of lords. Praise God. Amen. And He's not done yet. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. Ah, friend, have you got on your shouting shoes? His love is enough. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, but His burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe Him to you, but He's indescribable. Yes, He's incomprehensible. You know what the old-timers used to say? I'm going to stop here just for a moment. The old-timers used to say, it's better felt than telled. When you experience salvation through Jesus Christ, amen, you know that you know that you know that you are saved. You have a God encounter. The Holy Spirit draws you, woos you, pulls you in the direction of Christ. And when you repent of your sin and receive Him as your Savior, you can tell people that you're saved. But that experience is unique to you. It's something that happened to you, and it is beyond description. Praise God. Amen. He is invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens cannot contain Him, let alone a man explain Him. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off your hands. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him, and the grave couldn't hold Him. That's my King. Hallelujah. Oh, He's always been, and He always will be. I'm talking about He who had no predecessor, and He who has no successor. There was nobody before Him, and there will be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him. He's not going to resign. We try to get prestige and honor and glory to ourselves, but the glory is all His. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forevers, then amen. And then Lockridge says, oh, I wish I could describe Him to you. And I spend my whole life trying to describe the unspeakable gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it is my earnest prayer that this holiday, this holy day season, that you will experience God's salvation if you don't know Christ as your Savior. That you will meet this King that we try in vain to describe, but when you meet Him, you will know. You will know what Mr. Lockridge, myself, and others are talking about, what we're saying, and why that we are saying it, because you will know for yourself the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You will know for yourself the salvation that He brings. Praise God, you will know for yourself the glory of the Christmas season. Hallelujah. And if you're a Christian today and you don't know the difference between the holiday and the holy day, they just get blurred. And you're part of that big crowd of people, they're going to feel a great letdown after all of the food, too much to eat, too much to drink. After the presents are opened and everything is gone, you're taking down the tree, you feel this big empty feeling within. Oh, friend of mine today, stop, stop, stop all the madness and chaos and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me, for sending a Savior. Jesus Christ, thank you for coming. Thank you, Lord, for the unspeakable gift of your Son that brought our salvation. Well, we love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.